Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. Today, I'm speaking with Catherine Bell. Catherine is an expert on workplace protocol, etiquette, and professional image management. The author of Managing Your Image Potential, Creating Good Impressions in Business, she has appeared in the New York Times, the Globe and Mail, Canadian Business Magazine, and the Las Vegas Review Journal, as well as been a guest on CBC News World, CBC Radio, Canada AM, and TV Ontario. She also co-authored the New York Times bestseller, Masters of Networking, Building Relationships for Your Pocketbook and Soul, with Dr. Ivan Meisner. She has a reputation as a dynamic and informative speaker and has been speaking for more than 25 years. Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers, Catherine.
Thank you, Karma. I'm really thrilled to be part of this.
Wonderful. Just so listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise, could you tell us a little about your journey to success in public speaking?
Yes. Well, as most people begin to look at public speaking, I really did not like to do it. But my work took me into arenas where I had to be up in front of people. I first worked as a fashion designer for about 16 years, and I was responsible for portraying the new designs to the sales force, looking at the details, and presenting at our international and national sales team meetings. And I found it was really great to be able to speak about something that I was passionate about. So that was very helpful. Around 1984, I began teaching, and that was a new arena because I had never done that before. And in order to keep control of a class, you had to have a fairly dynamic way of presenting and as well a lot of strength. Not to say that you would want to not encourage students to participate, but you had to have a certain presence in front of the classroom. And so the more I got up to do this kind of thing, the easier it became. After a number of years, I also actually went into teaching full-time for about 5 years. Due to a disability with polio, I couldn't continue my European travel connected to my design job, and so I looked at career alternatives, and I was teaching daily for about 4.5 years. So every time you had to get up in front of a group, it gave that opportunity of being able to polish your presentation skills. And you certainly knew if you didn't have the class with you, and so you would move to have perhaps a little more enthusiasm, change the way that you do things. Now in my business, I'm actually doing a lot of corporate training, so I actually look forward to the opportunity to get up in front of a group rather than shying away from it. And I'm also now, because of the teaching that I still do part-time at the college, where I've taught computer programmers and networkers presentation skills and seen really fabulous results, I've started to do a course that I offer to business people in the community. And with very little time together, we can achieve great results. So I really didn't like it, like most people. But now, as I move forward in my business, it's something I look forward to.
You know, one thing I've been finding interesting in doing these interviews is that that's not an uncommon story. A lot of people start off being terrified or they don't like it, and then something happens once they get on the stage and they find their sweet spot, their confidence, and they turn from being terrified to being almost addicted to the whole experience of speaking in front of an audience.
It's very uplifting when you can move people to participate in perhaps a workshop that you're doing, or you know that they're with you when you can hear a pin drop in the room, and that's not always the case.
Right.
But it is great to have that experience. It isn't always going to be easy. I know that many years ago, our Association of Image Consultants International had a keynote speaker who opened our conference. And in the room, there would be about 200 image consultants. And everyone kind of worries when they're in front of image consultants because they think they have to look a certain way.
Right.
We're certainly not there to find faults. We're there to help people be their best. And I was watching the person who was going to be presenting on presentation skills. And he was going around the room to the people that were there early, It's a large ballroom with tables, so it was a very expansive arrangement. And he was shaking hands with people who had arrived early. But in between each handshake, as he moved from table to table, he looked so nervous. He was rubbing his hands together. And I could tell that even though he was teaching how to do effective presentations, he himself still struggled with anxiety. So the most important thing is not to beat yourself when your heart starts to race, because the opportunities when that does happen.
In fact, many of the speakers I've been talking with have suggested that you take that energy and you think of it less as fear, think of it as excitement, and channel that excitement into your presentation.
That's right. I say that all the time, because the fear is going to be there, your heart is going to race, and if you can specifically push that into the first few words that you're saying, I find that most effective, because typically people that are nervous speaking will start out quietly, and then as they become more relaxed, their voice increases. And so it affects their presentation, I believe, in a negative way if they start out talking very quietly like this. And then finally they have some confidence and they begin to speak louder. So I suggest as they go up to really fuel your voice with the nervous energy that's coming through at that time. It takes concentration to do that. You have to specifically do it.
You have to be present, definitely.
Yes, you do. And not worry. Oh, gee, I'm nervous again. How come I'm nervous again? I've done this so many times. People will tend to give them very negative self-talk before they do a presentation. And that will undermine as well. Because I'm sure others probably have mentioned visualization and having positive self-talk before you speak. And that helps, again, totally transform the person as they go forward to speak.
And there's also the realization that the physical sensations of fear are not much different from the physical sensations of excitement and enthusiasm.
That's right. Our heart races. We have greater awareness of our environment, and we're expectant. If we have that excitement, I mean, really, when I was designing way back and had to do the talks on the 80 sweaters we would do 5 times a year, and I would have to talk about them, well, I would get excited about the designs, and that's what helped me over that hump.
So now, given your experience, do you believe that public speaking is a learned skill or something you're born being able to do, and why?
Definitely it is a learned skill. There are some people that have an innate ability, we think, but perhaps it's come from their family environment where they were maybe speaking with each other around a table, taking part in family events, perhaps that involve speaking. I have, however, seen huge changes in people who can hardly speak after some time together in coaching them on presentation skills. And for instance, many of the students that I work with today are of all ages, but a lot of them are late 20s, early 30s, and they haven't had a lot of opportunity to do presentations. They're very nervous. They hardly speak up. They have all kinds of body language distractions. And I start them off by doing simply 60-second self-introduction speech. Often it's an elevator speech. And while they're up there, I make notes on some of the things that were fantastic and the things that need improving. And the key I find in learning, because people can learn it, is to have first the positive self-talk before they go up to make sure that they're present at that class, not to stay away. And then as they get into it, the very first week I did this, I gave only positive feedback. And I asked the students to give that feedback to them first. And so it's their peers who are identifying the really fabulous things they did. And the person comes away from that situation thinking, well, it wasn't so bad after all. And they're encouraged to go forward to the next week, where we give positive feedback and constructive, but only in a way, they often call it negative, and I say, we want to phrase what we're giving to the person when it's constructive with words such as, your presentation would have been even better if you had done this. And all around, we have a very positive attitude. And so I've just finished 2 weeks of doing this with students, and it was amazing to see the difference between the first week and the second week. I was quite surprised. Some people who could hardly speak English at the end of 3 or 4 sessions doing this are able to speak with confidence. So we work on body language and smiling and how not to hold your paper and what to do with your hands, what to do with your feet. So if they have some things to work on that are specific, and then they hear the positive feedback, quite exhilarating for them.
There's definitely something to be said about positive reinforcement.
Definitely.
And I know when I was a Toastmaster, the way we were taught to do evaluations was you said something positive about the speech, then you put in a comment about how to improve it, and then you ended with something positive.
Right, the sandwich method, as we sometimes call it. I often start with two positive things because I think it, for the particular group I work with, it's just extra evaluation. And then at the end, after the constructive comment, I do usually try and end with something that's positive again because you don't want them to sit down thinking about the negative piece.
Right,
very,
definitely.
Very good point that you've mentioned.
And people tend to remember the first thing that was said and the last thing
and
that was said.
That's right. You know, they think that they're appearing extremely nervous. They think that they're shaking all over the place. And people would actually say in that first comment, you didn't even look nervous. And they're going,
yes.
What?
And I've had that experience too, because sometimes when I get nervous, my ears get really warm. I'm just convinced that my ears are bright red. And then when I talk to people, no one noticed. So obviously, I'm just feeling warmth and they aren't bright red, which is like, thank God.
That's right. That's right. You know, we fear the worst sometimes, and when it doesn't happen, it's also a positive thing. People that want to learn to do this need to put themselves forward and practice and get out and actually do it. What Toastmasters is all about, having a consistent time to be able to get up on a weekly basis or biweekly basis to do that, because without it, the practice really does help. Without it, you're not going to see the result.
Definitely.
And again, in my classes at the college, I'll have some people that know that in the next 4 weeks we're going to be having, you know, half an hour to an hour of a three-hour class on delivering a short presentation. And some of them will actually stay away and not come until it's the day that they're being marked. And the ones that are there, who've been there all along, we can see immediately some of the things they could have changed very easily. So it's also a learning process for them. I usually call the person and say, are you all right? We have to support one another. It's not an easy thing to do. In fact, my evening course that I run, typically it is not something I run every semester or, you know, twice a year. Sometimes it's every 2 years because people need it, but they don't want to commit. They're afraid. Usually have something else to do.
Right, right. Conveniently have something else to do.
Conveniently. If we could wink, you'd see my wink.
Right, right. So now, imagine that you are a public speaking superhero. What do you believe would be your main superpower?
Well, I would say that being able to connect easily to an audience with the people in the audience. And I think I would do that, or I see myself doing that. I've been told that I am very warm and approachable and enthusiastic in terms of the way I deliver. So it's making that connection. Sometimes it's a good eye contact, but it's a warmth that I try and create in my voice and my appearance to involve people in the presentation rather than being too formal. I'm good at being formal when I need to be. I'm not saying that I don't present in a formal way. I do watch how I stand and my body language. Pausing as well during the presentation helps to give the audience time to absorb what they're hearing. So that helps you to connect with them.
Definitely. Now, what kind of advice would you give someone if they wanted to develop that particular superpower as well?
The first thing I would say, that you would want to smile, because your smile will help you create a rapport with the audience that's very quick to do. If you have a chance to connect with them physically with a handshake before, mentioning the example at the beginning, if you are giving a smaller presentation and people are coming in early, going up to them and actually introducing yourself briefly would be helpful, because you get as much rapport as speaking with that person for 3 hours from one good handshake. The other thing would be to slow down your speech, because sometimes people who get nervous go very quickly, and taking those pauses and trying to look at the whole room rather than just one area of the room. Because if you present typically to the left side of the room and ignore the right, you're not connecting with the whole group. And I have to concentrate and remind myself to look to the right, because I do tend to ignore people in that corner. And we've already talked about fueling the first few words with our anxiety. In order to be upbeat and enthusiastic, you need to create that in your voice. Because if you're not enthusiastic about your topic, people are not going to listen as intently. And then once you get going, those pauses in between things. And checking in with the audience would be really important. You know, are there any questions, any comments at this point before you go on to the next major thing that you're going to cover? Because then they feel part of that process.
You know, something you said, it's like I've always understood that the power of silence within your speech is something that can be very important, but I always thought of it in terms of it lets someone absorb what you just said, you know, gives them a moment to reflect on it. I never really thought of it as also a technique that helps you connect with your audience.
Yes. Yesterday morning, I was at a chamber breakfast, Business of Commerce chamber breakfast, and it was a time for members to stand up and give their self-introduction elevator speeches, 30 seconds. And some people tried to cram in so much in 30 seconds, they had no variety in their voice, they just whipped through it. And there was a young man there who is starting a business in teaching presentation skills. And I know him personally, and he has a very enthusiastic personality. I think he'll do well when he gets his business going. He stood up, and he spoke with great enthusiasm without being overbearing, but paused a lot between his comments. He didn't try and cram everything that he could do into 30 seconds. And at the end of that breakfast, people were talking to me, "Isn't he great?" And he's just starting out. In fact, he's starting a Toastmasters chapter this week as well. He has a natural enthusiasm and has always wanted to be a motivational speaker, so now he's channeled it into teaching others how to do presentations. So without that pause, we tend to lose our audience.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for sharing your unique wisdom with us today.
Thank you, Karma, for involving me in your project as well. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. This is the end of today's episode of Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence, signing off.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on her picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.